We're here on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, and we're up to the Amar Rami Bar Chama. So let's see if we can find the place. It's the two dots. If you'll notice, the structure of the page is such that there's narrow lines on the top, then it gets wide. And I guess if you count down about 10 or 12 lines down from the wide lines, you'll see two dots. The first word in the line is Shracha, and it says Omar Rami Bar Cham. Omar of Asi. Also, Yodim Shi Yachuf Ishto Lidvar Mitzvah. A person is not allowed to force his wife to have intercourse. Dvar Mitzvah. He doesn't use the word tashmish, he uses the word dvar mitzvah. He's adding another chiddush over here, that even though his kavana here is for the kiyum mitzvah of ona, and he's obligated in this mitzvah of tashmish, nevertheless, or for example, let's say he's chayiv in piri v'rivya, nevertheless he cannot force her. Shenemar, based on a pasuk in Mishlei, we'll read the whole pasuk, it says, gam belo das nefesh lo tov. We'll come back to that part in a minute. And at the end of the pasuk, it says, V'otz biraglayim chote. Otz means he's meitzi, he forces her. And here the word raglayim is a euphemism for tashmish, and he's called a chote. And you'll see also in a pasuk in Bereishis Yutes, it says, V'ya'itzu hamalochim. And Targum Onkelos says, V'dechiku. Dechiku means they were forced. Now, Tashmish, as we said, is called Raglayim, as we see in a pasuk in Shoftim, with regard to the Melchama of Sisro with Bnei Yisrael, when Sisro comes Beraglov, and it says, V'sar li'ol yael, it says, Bein Ragleha kara nofal shachav. And the Gemara says, Ragleha here, in this Mikra, is reference to Tashmish, Shishimsa, Shimsha Yael Imo. And that's how she got him weak, and then she was able to kill him. The Amar Rav Yishub and Levi Kala Kofa Ishtal Dvar Mitzvah, if he forces her, then Havyin Lo Bonim She'eno Mehuganim. He will have children that are not Mehuganim. I mean, this also seems to indicate that we're talking about period of a rivia. And Eina Muganim is actually a euphemism for a Rasha. That's what it says in the Pesach Einayim, quoted here in the note. It says in a pasuk, Lo Tovim Abonim. So when it says Lo Tov, it's really a nice way of saying Rasha. Amar Av Iko Bar Chinina Maikra. How do we know a remez that this is the punishment for someone who forces his wife? Gam below das, let's go back to the beginning of that pasuk in Mishlei that we quoted. It says, nefesh lo tov. As we said, that the nefesh coming from this relationship will be lo tov. And that means it was without das, without the agreement of his wife, and therefore, when he forces all the dvar mitzvah, the nefesh that comes from this relationship is going to be lo tov. Tanya Nami Ochi, we learned in a braisa, like Ravi Ika. It says, Gam below das, nefesh lo tov, zeh kofi ishtol dvar mitzvah, vi otzber aglaim chote, zeh boel v'shone. Now this last addition, that if he has an intimate relationship twice, one after the other, he's called a chote, otzber aglaim chote, meaning that he's imposing on his wife for a second relationship, and that's not a good thing. He's a chote. So that's going to be a problem. Eini, is that really sova? Omar Rava Rotsa Lassus called Bonav Scharim Yivel V'Yishna. It seems like, in general, it's a good thing to have one relationship after the other. And apparently the second relationship will be very much L'Shem Shamayim, and therefore will have Bonav Scharim. It'll be blessed. And the Gemara says in Kedushin, Yefshel Yolam V'lo Scharim, so that's a special blessing if his children are Zcharin. lo lemi shebonav nikeva. Or maybe oilo, it should say maybe. Lemi shebonav nikeva. Again, I think the combination thereof is a nice combination, especially if you hold that period of Arivia. In any event, it says that Yivol v'yishne, and we said perhaps the Ishto Tis'ava, she'll have a certain amount of desire and appetite because of the first Bi'ila, and therefore she'll, in the second Bi'ila, Hitazria T'chila. So I guess it means, if I understand correctly, her ovum will come down before his sperm goes up. And again, it's not guaranteed here that he'll have a son, because keep in mind that she might have gotten pregnant with the first Be'ilah, and then she might have very well have a female child. But it's at least closer and statistically more probable that he'll have a male son, because for the second Be'ilah she'll be Mazriya Tchila. Now, the Gemara Nida says on Daf Lamed Aleph that when an Isha's Mazras Tchila, he yoledes Zohar. She'll give birth to a male. In any event, we see clearly from this statement of Rava that it's a pretty good idea. It's Roy, it's fitting to have a second Be'ilah, one Be'ilah after the other. So Gemara says, Lo Kasha Kam Ledas Kan Shalolid. If she agrees to a second Bi'ilah, that's fine. But against her will, the second Bi'ilah, again, even though if he was Bol B'Kfiyah on the first round, he's called a Chote. So why do you call him a Chote if he's Boel a second round without her permission? I mean, it seems that he was already a Chote based on the first round. So the Bach says that the case we're dealing with is where the first Be'ilah was Beratzon and the second Be'ilah was against her will. We would have had Avmina that since she was Misratza for the first Be'ilah, then Mistoma she also has Ratzon for the second Be'ilah. And she knows very well that the Ksherim will have a second Be'ilah, so they'll have children. But he says no, even if only on the second Be'ilah she objects, and Shalom Yibdaita, he's still called a Chote, even though she agreed on the first Be'ilah. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar Rav Yochanan called Isha Shetovas Baal Ledvar Mitzvah, Havyin Labodim Shafilu Bidoro Shal Moshe Lohoyu Kemosman. And if you take this Gemara literally, it says that she took the initiative and asked and sort of requested that he have a relationship with her, and that means that she has a taiva, she has a desire for a dvar mitzvah, and she wants to have children, and she will have children that will exceed and supersede beyond the door of Moshe Rabbein, that there wasn't even in Moshe Rabbein, and this we'll learn from Leah, as we'll soon see. Let's point out that the case where she'll be zocha for this great reward is when she has kavanah l'shem mitzvah to have children. And then she's similar to Leah, who had an intention to have more children. If she does it for the sake of pleasure alone, then the Meiri at least says that she will not be rewarded for that. It has to be l'shem mitzvah. So now the Gemara analyzes this statement of Rab Shmuel, De'ilu b'dorash al Moshe k'siv, at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, when Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, Hovu lachem anoshim chachomim nevonim v'yiduim v'lishivtechem, choose from each shevet people that can be appointed as judges. They should have three positive traits. Number one, they should be chachomim. Number two, they should be nevonim. Nevonim are someone who have those who have a deeper intelligence, they could derive one thing from another, and Yiduim, they're known to have a very good a moral standing and reputation. But at the end, the Pasuk says, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'akach es Rashi Shivtechem Anoshim Chachomim V'Yiduim. the Torah only specifies that Moshe, in his choice, he elected those who had two out of those three attributes. He wasn't able to find people who would fit the bill and be candidates because they also are nevonim, that third quality, that third trait. With regard to the children of Leah, after it says, "Vateitze Leah likraso vatomer elai tavo ki sachar skarticha," she goes out to greet Yaakov when he comes back from the fields, and she was tovem l'dvar mitzvah. And what was her schar? What was her great reward? It says, Uksiv, it says in Divrei Hayomim, Umibnei Sachar, Yode Vina Le'itim Ladas Mayasi Yisrael, Rasheim Masayim V'chol Acheim Alpiyim. In other words, from Shevet Yisachar, they were Bali Bina, which made Yisachar a very unique Shevet. So the Torah singles out Yisachar as the Bali Bina. And Yisachar was actually born from this relationship in which Leah sort of buys her way to have the intimacy with her husband Yaakov. And she goes out to be Tovea LeMitzvah. And the schar for that is Yodea Bina. Now again, the simple pshat in the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, Ibnei Yisachar Yodei Bina Le'itim, is that they knew how to give an eitzah, they knew how to give advice to people at any time based on the need of that moment. And it says, Rasheim Masayim V'cholachem Alpiyim. And they tell you how many people would accept the advice of the Bnei Yisachar. But the Gemara is dashing it as Nevonim, that Bnei Yisachar fit the category of Nevonim. Now, it's interesting that this pasuk in Divrei Hayomim is describing the glory and the greatness of Bnei Yisachar. It doesn't say anything about the fact that they were from Shevet Yisachar. That could have been spelled out. And it could have said that the Nevonim came from Shevet Yisachar. But the Torah Tmimah says that Lefi Shahayu Mu'otim Bekamus B'yachas L'Shar Hashvotim. So it means the following, that in the Parsha of Minui Dayanim, in the Torah doesn't mention that the Nevonim came from Shevet Yisachar, because Shevet Yisachar was a relatively small Shevet, so that there weren't that many Nevonim. Now, I'm not so happy with that answer, but that's what he says. So the Gemara immediately asks, Adi, is it really true that it's acceptable and roy for a woman to be tovea b'ilodvar mitzvah, as we saw by Leah? And maybe Leah is just the exception to the rule. Eini va'omar of Yitzchak bar Avdimi eser klolos niskala Chava. So Chava experienced no less than 10 curses as a punishment for the sin of eating from the Eitz Hadas. Tichsiv, as it says in the third chapter of Bereishis, it says, Ve'el ha'isha amar, we'll read out the pasuk, Harbeh arbeh itzvonich, ve'eronich, v'etzev tel dibanim, ve'el ishech tshukasek, v'hu yimshal bach. And we're going to see how many different klolos are implicit in this pasuk. So we go one by one. It says, Harba arba elu shnei tipei damim. So these are two dams, two categories of dam that can come out of a woman's body that are uncomfortable. achas dam nida v'achas dam besulin. So in both cases, she suffers to some extent. And this is derived l'chora from the pasuk that says harbeh, harbeh, double language. The Marsha says that it could have said harbeh just once. And anytime you see a Lashon Ribui, it teaches you that there's more than one, because Miyad Rabim is Shnayim. And therefore, based on a Gemara in Ksubis, the Gemara says, Kol Isha Shedameh Merubin, Boneh Merubin. So you could say that Harbe Arbe means that Harbe means she'll have a lot of Dam, and Arbe means she'll have a lot of Bonin. And she'll have Tsar Gidel Bonin Meruba. She'll have many children, and she'll suffer a lot by raising so many children. That's the Marsha. But the simple pshat we said is two dominant, because it says harbe, arbe. Then the pasuk says it's vonech, and that's a reference to Tsar Gidel Bonim, to raising children, because she has the primary responsibility of raising children. Even with regard to a man, a father, it does say Tsar Gidel Bonim. For example, by Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara in Shabbos uses the term Tsar Gidel Bonim, referring to Yaakov Avinu. Nevertheless, a man, a father, is not usually at home, and he doesn't suffer as much as a woman. Now, it's vonech. We're deriving Tsar Gidel Bonim. And actually, if you read the pasuk itself, so the Me'itzvonech, they're deriving in the pasuk Tsar Gidel Bonim, it's earlier in the pasuk, even though this Tsar is going to come after she gives birth, obviously, and she's raising the children. So it's interesting, because in the pasuk it's a little bit out of order. It says Be'etzev Teldi Bonim, that's referring to birth. But before that in the pasuk, it says, it's vonech. And the reason why the Gemara is deriving from it's vonech, Tsar Gidel Bonim, because it's vonech indicates a Tsar Gadol Yoseh. And that's Tsar Gidel Bonim, that's extended over a long period of time. Tsar Ibur, pregnancy and birth, that's relatively limited in time. But we mentioned earlier the Pesach Einayim. He says the reason why the Torah mentions Tsar Gidel Bonim earlier in the pasuk, before Tsar HaIbur, is because this klala was given to Chava, and Chava did not have Tsar HaIbur with regard to Kain VeHevel. That's a sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin, that Adam VeChava Olu Lemita Shnayim V'yardu Arba. So only when Chava gave birth to Shais, that was son number three, that's when she had Tsar HaIbur. So therefore it's Monech, which is a Tsar Gidel Bonim, in her case, in Chava's case, came even before the Tsar HaIbur, when she gave birth later to Shais. Very interesting chiddush. Then it says in the pasuk, Veheronech, Zetzar HaIbur, so that's the pregnancy. And most women get sick during pregnancy, Nebuch. And the Etzev Taldi, Bonim, Kimashmo, that's already childbirth itself. Al Ishech, Chukosech, Malamish Isha, Mishtokekes, Al Baila, Bishashu Yotze Lidera. That when a man goes out and leaves the house for a long trip, she has a desire to have an intimacy with him. And the Gemara, notice it adds that word melamed. And I guess maybe because this is teaching us a din, that since when he goes out, she has this desire, therefore he has a chiyuv lefokto b'tashmish b'shashi yotzi l'der. So that's the word melamed. And Vehu Yimshal Bach Molamit Isha Tovas Beleva Ish Tovea Bepeh. Now that she's embarrassed to ask him explicitly with her mouth, whereas a man is not embarrassed. That's who Yimshal Bach. And therefore everything really depends upon his Ratzon and his Taiva, not on her Ratzon and her Taiva. And Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi adds that even this is included in the klolos sheniskala bahen chava zohi mida tov v'noshim, despite the fact that it's a klol in the sense that he might not know that she wants to have a relationship, but nevertheless it is a mida tova that she's not tovas bepeh. So the question is, how does that square with Rabbi Yochanan, who says that she'll be rewarded if she's tovas bepeh? And the Gemara answers, ki amrinon demratio artsuye kameh. When Rabbi Yochanan says that tovas is she's zocha to schar, that's not tovas bepeh, but rather she shows in front of her husband, dibre ritzui v'chibu, she shows that, she indicates with her behavior that she is looking for that intimacy. And he'll understand from her body language, so to speak, divrei ritzi, her speech, her chiba, that she's interested in having an intimate relations. The Ran says that even though in the case of Leah to Yaakov, it says Eli Tavo, which sounds like a Tvi of a Ped, no, she wasn't Tovea Tashmish, but a light tovo with divrei ritzui pius that he should come into her tent and be with her and spend time with her, so to speak. But the Toras Chaim and the Gon Yaakov, they understand that Leah was tovas bepe for Yaakov, but her kavana was only l'shem shemaim laharbo shvatim, and therefore in her case she could even be tovas bepe, but not so for other women. Now the Gemara wants to know, how did Rav Yitzchak claim that he derived Esther Klos Hasheva Havyon? There are only seven that are enumerated here in the list. So Ki Asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz to Bavel Omar, he said that there are another three Klos. And what are they? Atufa Ke'avil, she always has to cover her hair. And that's the chiyuv of a woman to cover her hair. Just like an Ovil has Itof HaRosh, he also has to cover his hair, his head. Number two, Menuda Mikol Adam. All right, the Gemara is going to explain what that means. V'chavusha bebeis asurim. She's kind of locked up at home, like the Pasuk says in Tilm, kol kvodo basmelech, kol kvodo basmel pnima, that she doesn't generally go out. My Menuda Mikol Adam. Okay, so again, when Rav Yitzchak counts 10 klolos, so it's a Talmud who's going to bring the other three that were either forgotten or he didn't mention them. Now, these three are not indicated or intimated in the pasuk, in the klolos, because these are not complete, total klolos. Now, some women actually appreciate covering the hair, and they add all sorts of pieces of jewel and to beautify their clothes when they cover their hair. It's something that's stylish. And the second klolo, which is menuda b'kol adam, is generally speaking, it's really comfortable for most women that they would go out and spend time with their friends, their female friends. And even the third klola mentioned here, that she can only be married to one man, her husband, for most women, that is noach laz. They want to be miyuchedes lish echad. And a woman is smecha bebal ne'ureha, so forth and so on. So these are not klolos gemuros. So my menuda mikol adam ile mishum dasirile yichud. If it means that she's not allowed to go into a private room with someone, well iunami asirile yichud. Even a man is prohibited from being alone with a woman other than his wife. That's a sugi at the end of Masechta Kiddushin. So why is this a curse for a woman? Ella, but rather, what does it mean, menuda dasirile beitre, and she can never marry two men. Once she gets married to one man, she's asur l'chalad. But a man can marry more than one woman. I mean, of course, we have cherem d'rein and gershon, but fundamentally, according to biblical law, he can marry more than one woman. Now, is there any indication that these klolos came into reality, into being, after the chait of the Eitz Hadas? And we're going to quote here the Gaon Yaakov, who says that before the chait of Eitz Hadas, man and woman were separated and almost like naturally and innately protected from the Eitz Hara. And it says after the Eitz Hadas, v'yushneim arumim ha'odom v'ishtov lo yisbal shashu. And she wasn't asur lebeit shrei. And not only that, she wasn't atufa, right? Because she was naked. V'lo chavusha, and she wasn't locked up, shalu leitzeis mibayla. Because all these three are keneged yetzer hara, which only came into existence, says the Gaon Yaakov, after the chet of the yetzer hadas. From Asnisa Tana, we learned in a brisa, Megadeles Sear Klilis. Another three curses are listed here in the Brisa. Number one is Megadeles Klilas Sear Klilis. Klilis is the name of a shade. Actually, the name of the shade, to be precise about it, is Lilis, but Kililis means like Lilis. Lilis was a shade that had the countenance of a person, and it had wings to fly, and Megadela Sear, it had long, long hair. So that is apparently a curse that a woman would have long hair. Again, there are many women who appreciate long hair, so this is not a klala gemura, as we would say. And number two, Yosheves umashtenes mayim kibehema. We'll soon see that a mule, in the way it urinates, a woman urinates in the same way. She sits down. And that's a klola. She has to bend her body down. Vinaseis kar lebaila. She's like a pillow during intimate relations underneath the weight of her husband. Again, that's not also a klola gemura because some women enjoy that. They appreciate that. So the gemara asks v'idach, meaning Rav Dimi, the other Amora, why didn't he count these three? And he answers that Hani Shvachu La, that actually these are not close at all. The fact that a woman grows her hair long like a lilis, that's if she beautifies her hair, that adds to her beauty. And the fact that she sits when she urinates, that's tznius. It's a new way that nothing is exposed. And furthermore, it's not difficult. You know, she doesn't have to take out a part of her body in order to urinate. Just sits down and urinates. And the fact that she is a pillow, so to speak, holding up the weight of her husband during tashmish, is that's if you compare it to what he has to do. I mean, he has to actually hold up his weight so he doesn't crush her. Maybe it's more of a tirch for him than for her. Now, the Ben Yoda explains that before the chait, Chaisa nivras beser kalua. Her hair was braided. And we'll see exactly how we know this. But after the klola, it seems that the hair was sasur, which, if I understand correctly, was like flying around, it was loose. But again, she still has the ability to take that long hair and braid it. Now, how does the Ben Yoyada know that before the chet, she had Seir Kalua, she was braided in her natural form? Because the Pasuk says, Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Hatzela. And the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Malamed Shekila, he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, braided her hair, the hair of Chava, and then she brought Chava to Adam. But again, after the Klola of Eitz Hadas, her hair became wild. But once again, she still has the potential of taking that wild, long hair and braiding it. And that would enhance her beauty. So now, the Amar Abchia, Maidachsiv, what does the Pasuk mean in Eov when it says, Milifnei mi behemos, milifneimu nu behemos oretz umi of hashamayim yechak menu? In other words, we're talking about the Hanhogas Tovos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that with Chachma, he gave the Bali Chaim certain modes of behavior. And we should, in a sense, learn from and become wise from God. We should imitate God. So what? In what way can we see God's creative process and imitate God? So it says, Milefemo mibehemos. That's the first part of this pasuk. Zu pirda is referring to a mule. Shekoras umashtenis mayim. That apparently it bends down and lets its body go down to the ground in order to urinate. And that's a derech of tznius. So the way God created the mule is the way we should derive tznius from the way the preda is mashtenis mayim. And this would prove, as we said before, that Rav Dimi would not mention this Yosheves Mashtenis as a klola, because Adarav is Derech Tznius. And the next part of the Pasuk in Eov says, Umeof HaShamayim Yechak Menu. So which bird is going to teach us some sort of wisdom in the way God created the bird? Zeh Tarnagol Shemefayes v'achkach boel. That the tarnagol, I guess the rooster, will entice its hen with words of chiba, whispering some words into its ear, so to speak, before tashmish, and only after then it would have the intimate relationship. It's interesting that the pasuk says Of HaShamayim, and it's a reference to a tarnagol, even though a rooster doesn't fly in the air up to Shamayim. Anyway. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Il Mole Lo Nitne Torah, if the Torah had not been given and we have to learn moral behavior patterns, Hayinu Lemedim Tznius Michasul, we would learn the midah of modesty from a cat. And the reason for that is because a cat does not defecate in front of other people, in front of men. And it also apparently covers its feces. So that's a very fine attribute of tznius. Now, our Girsa says Il Mole Lo Nitne Torah with an aleph. The Tosa actually quotes Rabbeinu Tam that Il Mole means Ilu Lo. Whereas il mole, without the aleph, you drop the second aleph. Il mole with a yud, instead of the second aleph, you put a yud in. That means ilu haya. So that if our girsa was il mole, where instead of an aleph at the end it's a yud, ilu haya would be the appropriate interpretation. Ilu haya. Notice, if it had been that the Torah wasn't given, we would still derive tznius from the chasul, from the chatul. Now, once the Torah was given, we derive midos and hanhagas tovos. We don't have to learn musar and ethics by imitating the animals. Because if we start imitating the animals, they also have midos ros, and we might be tempted to derive even midos ros from the animal. So we should really derive midos and hanhagas tovos from the Torah itself. So that's why it's il mole lo nitne Torah. Once we have the Torah, we don't need the animals. Gezel minamola, right? The ants will work very hard for months and months to collect during the summer months food, so they'll have food in the winter. They don't steal one from the other for the purpose of achila. And we could derive gezel from the ants. He writes here, Afilu Hatzel, he says, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Lech el Nemola Hatzel, Re'e Darkeva V'chachem. So the Hatzel, the lazy person, should learn from the Nemola that even the laziest of all ants will not rely on a friend for the food because they don't want to come to Gzela. Whereas a lazy person will rely on someone else. And if that someone else won't provide him, then he'll steal it. Arayos mi Yona. In the case of the Yona, the male Yona, the male dove, will be designated to have a relationship only with his partner, which is called Bat Zugo. And Arayos Mione Vanakeva, and in terms of the female dove, she will not allow any other male other than the one she's designated for to have a relationship with her. V'derech Eretz Mitarnagol Shemefayis V'achakach Boel. Now, where do we see in the case of a tarnagol that he's mefayis v'achakach bo? My mefayis la. What does it mean that he pacifies har, meaning the hen, before he has a relationship with Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav? He goes around the hen, right? The rooster walks around the hen and starts spreading his wings. Hachi kamar la. And what is he trying to convey to her? Zavinina lich ziga de matulich ad karich. I'm going to buy you a very long cloak or some sort of a garment that reaches all the way down to the ground and will cover even your feet. And lebasar hachi, and after he finishes his be'ila, and he sort of like shakes himself and he kind of bows his head, kenegda, as a kind of an apology that he won't be able to fulfill his promise. And he takes an oath. The Amal, he says, Lishmatete lekarbuluse dahu tarnagol. He sort of like accepts a curse upon himself that his karboles should fall off his head, his crown. If I can somehow get the money to buy you a cloak, as I promised, and I didn't buy you, and I had the money, so I should be cursed. So we'll take a look a little bit in the Mefarshim here on this description of the rooster. Now, a female, in this case a hen we'll call it, has a kisui, a covering over her entire body, ke'en malbush ayidei nitzos nose, like the feathers, but her feet are totally exposed. So therefore, the rooster promises the hen that he'll buy her a garment that will cover her feet that she doesn't have. And when a person is Mephias' wife, we should derive from the rooster that he should do so by promising her the clothing that she needs. Because even though she likes to eat and drink, but this is more important to her, to get the clothing that she needs. So Pius Hanoshim is b'malbushim. And the Gemara in Pesachim actually applies this to the mitzvah of v'simach es ishto regarding the regel. It says, Noshim b'mem samchan b'bigdei tzivonin. He buys her for yontiv colored clothing. Now Rabbeinu Chananel has a pshat here about this rooster cursing himself, so to speak. Shemakal atzmo shechatul yishmot es rosho, that a cat will come along and just grab his crown. Maybe a better word for crown would be crest. Should be cut off if he doesn't buy this coat for her. So when the rooster spreads its wings before the bia, before the tashmish, it means he'll buy a coat that reaches the ground. But after the cat, it shakes its head, bends itself downwards in a sort of a mode of humility, so to speak, of apology. It bows its head as an apology that it doesn't have the wherewithal to buy such a coat. Now, why does it mention the crest? So the Ben Yoyoda points out that Iker Chashivas HaTarnagol Hi Karboloso. In other words, how does the rooster identify himself as a male? It's because he has this crest. And therefore, the Karboloso is Chaviv Olav Yosef Yisharei Varav. He's very, very possessive and proud of the Karboloso. So to be Mephias is... His batzug, he says to her, I'm accepting upon my a curse with regard to Karbalos that's so chaviv olav. Now, if a person is Mephias' wife and he promises us something, and then he doesn't have the ability to fulfill it, he shouldn't say, well, since I already fulfilled my will, I don't have to apologize to the Mephias, but rather he should speak to our heart, he should pacify her, be mafayis, kidvarim hamisyashvim alalev. So that's the end of this Agadato. And the Mishnah starts with a subject of the Tanoim. And the Mishnah wants to know about various conditions that are necessary in order to close doors that are not permanent on Shabbos. They're only temporary. And the Mishnah gives a list of doors that might be so temporary that it looks like bone. You know, the window or the closure is not apparent because it's a very temporary kind of thing. It's not a real delis. A real delis is already part of the structure of the building. So he's not constructing anything. There's no nirikibone. But here, it's probably a case where it's near a kibona, unless it has certain conditions, special conditions, because it's a very temporary kind of a door. So, for example, Adel Shebimukta in the backyard
He has a delis that's, again, very temporary, because he only used it on an infrequent basis. And the door that leads to it was not only was not normally hung in the regular way, it was just jammed into the frame. And if he wants to enter the backyard, he has to remove the door from its closed position, place it on the ground, and that's near a kibbona, or chadokim shebepirtza, which are thorns, bundles of thorns that are placed in a gap in the wall as a replacement for a door, machtzalos, or reed mats, again, replacement for doors. Ain nolim b'hem. You're not allowed to close an entranceway or a door with them on Shabbos, because as we said before, it's near a kibbona. Elim kein gvoim min ha'aretz. Unless they are suspended above the ground. The entire door dangles in midair when it's not in a closed position. Let me just share with you one or two notes here. We said that Muktzah is Ein Tashmisho Todir Umakatsa Osa Balabais Midato. And it's a Mokom Pasuach, which is not usually used. And he separates and designates some sort of a temporary delis in his backyard for that purpose, to close this entranceway. Now, in some cases, he's not creating any sort of a chibur to the binyan. He's just closing up a Pesach, and when he wants to open the Pesach, he takes it away and he puts it on the ground. Sometimes it's hanging from the wall of the house. Kirabais. Bechevel. Shebekotzeo ha'elyon. Ach tzida tachto nigrara oret. So it's tied in the top corner, and it's hanging in the air. Now, he says here, pa'omim shesogrim es elu b'machtzalos. Right, sometimes they close up the back exit or entrance from the backyard with mats. Machtzalos. And these were the same kind of mats that apparently they used to use to close up their stores when their stores were in the public domain. And the kotzim that we mentioned, these thorns, were used to be sosem pirtza shebechotze. Now, if on the other end they are gvoim in ha'aretz, right, they're not nigrarim, so then it's mutter. Why? Shebazen nire kimuchanim lisgira v'domim l'shar dlosos. Once it is suspended in air, then it looks like it's clear to everyone that that's meant to serve as a delis. So the Mishnah actually requires three conditions to be fulfilled. It's got to be kshurim. It's got to be tied down. Number two, it's got to be tluyim. It's got to be suspended in mer. And number three, gvoim min ha'aretz. So it's zeh lemala mizeh. In other words, kashur could be in a case even with where it's resting on the ground. Tolui must be a case where it's tied, but the lower part, which is called the Rosh HaTachton, is Yochad Dain Lios Munach La'aretz. It could still be laying on the ground. Ugvah Min Ha'aretz means that it's completely uplifted from the ground, above of the ground. So we're going to stop here.